In my devotion the other day, I was going through Psalm 119. You want to have a great devotion? Go through Psalm 119. I guarantee you, you're not going to do it in 3 minutes. It'll take you 20 to read it. But when I was in Psalm 119, something really sprung out for me here, and I wanted to bring that out tonight. Matthew 5, verse 8. You're there first? Matthew 5, verse 8. And then Psalm 119. We're going to start with verse 9. Tell me when you got Matthew. We're in a good company here. Matthew 5, 18 says, blessed are the... Somebody say pure in heart. For they shall... I mean, that's a great thing. How many want to see the Lord? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This isn't attached to a church or a denomination or even a particular people group. The pure in heart can be anybody at any time, anywhere, in any place. Now, this is also for the assembly here. As a church, if we want to see the Lord, we need to be pure in heart. I want a church that's pure in heart. Not that we've arrived, not that we're perfect, but we're striving for perfection. I mean, that's not a bad thing. You're not what you used to be, but you haven't arrived yet either, but bless God, you're on the right road. And I know for a fact, if you continue on this road, listen, sooner or later, if you go through enough car washes, something's going to get clean. Say amen. How many knows that the Lord takes you through the spiritual car wash? I'm going to blast you off. Sometimes we get some caked in mud in areas that we can't reach. Say amen. But how many knows that's just a reality? How many need a spiritual car wash? All right. Now, when I was younger, we used to goof around in car washes. We'd spray each other with the wand and whatnot. And I remember one time did something stupid. We left the windows down to see how much we could handle. I don't recommend that. But when you're young, you're stupid, you do all kinds of stuff, especially when those bristles came by. In the older days, they used to be real hard. Now they got a little more softer. Man, it used to just, oh man, I don't recommend it, all right? I remember one time, now don't do this. I know this is on the probably go over the air. Please do not do this. I had a friend of mine steal a Port-a-John once, all right? He thought it would be fun to pick one up off of a job site. So he loaded it in the back of his truck, and he was driving around with it through the town. And he thought he was so awesome. Look what I found. I go, you didn't find that. You stole that. He goes, look what I found. He wouldn't admit it. Well, he made the corner, and he made the turn. It tipped over, and it opened up, and it splattered all over his truck, his cab, his back. Oh, talk about, oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I said, that's what you get, brother, for stealing what isn't yours. But when it comes to the spiritual car wash, we need to go over that over and over. Sometimes we're right next to the world and what we have to deal with. So sometimes just being on the planet, you can be dirty. But that doesn't mean that you can't have revelation while you're at work or school or home. The pure in heart positions us to receive what God has. And I know more than ever, the enemy wants to keep our hearts darkened, our understanding darkened. But I want to be pure even in a day where it isn't pure. One of the things that Noah faced that was so tremendous is that every thought was continually evil all the time. He had to do battle in his time. Him and his family say, no, we're going to keep what is right. Can you imagine building a battleship in your backyard and it hasn't even rained yet? Come on, 3 decks tall. We're talking massive thing. Not a little sailboat. Not something you can just stick in your garage and no one would see and you pull it out. We're talking about an unbelievable thing. For 100 years, he preached righteousness. Everybody knew, I feel, that was around. And he kept preaching, hey, flood's going to come. Listen to me, get your life right. And the only converts were his close, intimate family. I mean, that was some pretty hard ground. And I wonder how Noah must have felt when the door was shut. It says God shut him in, and it finally broke loose. Can you imagine being the only folks that were alive? Can you imagine that you're not knowing where you were going by faith? And all of a sudden, one day, it stops, and you feel it stop. And you don't know if the water's ascended, so you have a couple birds in there, and one comes back with a piece of meat, and the other one comes back with a small twig. The only gauge you had, and all of a sudden the water continues to settle, and now you're in a new land, and it's just your families left. I mean, that would be pretty hard to deal with. Yes or no? But yet they all walk by faith. Many times we like to know everything what God's going to do, but God wants us to walk by faith. It mattered in Noah's day that he kept it right. It mattered in David's day that we kept it right. It mattered in Jesus' day, and it matters in our day. As the church as a whole, I'm talking about the whole church, we need to get back to a purity in our hearts. We have a lot of teaching, but listen, we haven't retained very much. Oh, I can preach that. In Psalm 119, have you found that yet? I want to look at verse 9. How can we keep our heart pure? We need to train our hearts by applying Scripture. In Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. I mean, that's a reality. We need to train our hearts in Scripture. That means we start to meditate on those things. Now, you all know, you've all crammed for an exam. You've all taken things that you had. You try to retain a certain amount. But as time progressed by, you remember very little. But at least if you pass what you did, you filled the prerequisite, you're on your way. I know all about it. Some things when I was in school, some things I did well in, some things I got by. But thank God I passed it. Amen? But what about Scripture? We're talking about life and death situations. We're talking about knowing a God who loves me and created me. He's given us keys that we can start to say, Lord, I want to have this in my heart. Then I need to learn to train my heart in this. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. I need to meditate on these procedures. I need to say, Lord, I want to keep that word in me. If you hide the word in your heart, you're not prone to sin against God. Isn't that neat? How would you like to have the strength that you need to overcome? And it matters what we do. Many times when I look at Christians, they don't think it does. It matters what we do. Like it mattered during Noah's day. It matters today. We're read and known of all men. There's no doubt about it. We don't hide our light. We let it shine. Why? So the world can see. The world is lost. I want people to know what I know about the Lord. It's not that I've arrived, but I want people to know what I know. I want people to know how awesome He is. When we fold this all up and all this is done, what will really matter? I'm here to say something to you. You'll never regret being here on a Wednesday night when this all folds up. You'll never regret all the times you served the Lord. You'll never regret what you gave, who you reached out to, the word you sowed in. That'll be something you'll never, ever regret. The Lord, sow that in, work that within me. I want to do what is right. Come on. How many knows that when the water got to be a foot deep, you had to start thinking about, man, that old nut Noah. Say amen. How about when it became waist deep? And now you have to hold your little children up. How about when it became neck deep? And soon it's like, man, this is real. How many thought at that moment, Noah, you were right? You see, the world's going to realize one day that Jesus is Lord. My prayer is that they find it out before it's too late. Before they're swept away. Because when I read the book of Revelation, even Jesus himself said, there won't be another day like it ever again. That's how cataclysmic it's going to be when Revelation is fully fulfilled. I mean, that's pretty unbelievable. There's two different scriptures in Revelation where one-third of the known population will pass away. That's two-thirds of the earth's population. How many billions will that be that we'll lose right at that moment alone? When I look today, it's serious business serving our God. When He's given us these precepts, He's given us these things to learn, Lord, teach me. Look at verse 15 in Psalm 119. I will meditate upon your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. It's so important to train our hearts. Have a time where you can just put the word in there. Now you have so many avenues today, but spend a little time. Even if it's just a few scriptures, be faithful with it. When you're faithful with it, you'll find that you'll get through those things. You can't read the word once and get all the revelation that you need. It's a living book. It's a breathing book. It's a book full of revelation. That means each time you come with a pure heart, something else God will speak to you. Something else he'll reveal in that. Something else he'll show you. Jesus said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book that you can know me." How many want to know the Lord? As your pastor, I want a congregation that's mature. That shows that I did something right. I'll be honest with you. If I don't do that, I don't do it right. That when we get there, I want you to know the God you served here when you see him face to face there. I don't want to see infancy when we get there. Amen? I want mature people, mature stature. That means you come a full age in those things. Is this good this evening? Yeah. Come on, let's have a time. Well, it's so easy today. If you have a phone, you got a whole Bible right there. Come on, whether you have a CD or even if you have an old tape player, everything is still available today. True? Can you imagine if the Old Testament folks had what we had today? A lot of them had an unbelievable relationship with the Lord. Wouldn't you agree? How much more us that we have the fullness? We don't have any excuse at all. Zero. Amen? And God saw fit that I even got a copy of it. Wow, that is so awesome. It isn't just on a scroll somewhere that the scribe came out and you stood and I want to hear the word. I want to hear the word. Our printing is so much greater today than that. And yet the Lord's going to hold this generation accountable for what we have. Amen? It's amazing to me, this is one book that's jammed up that the enemy will try to hinder you from reading just one book. Amen? Well, it's not very exciting. It's kind of boring. You go through Numbers and it's this tribe and this tribe and this tribe. Just keep going through it. There's only a few pages there anyways. Amen? If God didn't want you to know it, he wouldn't have put it in there. Is that good? Sooner or later, you'll make it through there. Amen? Season it with some salt, you'll make it. Hallelujah. But you'll be amazed that even in the midst of all that, there's still revelation that comes there. Amen? Every word. Lord, let me have the same anointing. Now, picture Jesus. He's 12 years old, and he can confound all the wisdom that is evident. All the scribes, all the Pharisees. Because he knew his father. And when he became older, it says, no man spoke like this because he spoke with one who has authority. That even the demons were subject to him. Hello? Wherever he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How many want to have a life like that? I want a life like that. I haven't arrived, but I want a life like that. I want to be anyone who's oppressed of the enemy or set free. Then Lord, teach us. We move as a church, not an individual. There's no superstars at Lighthouse. I said there's no superstars here. But we're all superstars together. Hallelujah. We move together as a unit. We'll see what God wants to do. But we're hungry. We're thirsty. We want more. Purity positions us to be to that place. Blessed are the pure in heart. When I start to meditate on these things, that means I start to look at what he has and I start to put it in there. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave. God so loves me. How many of you can dwell on that alone? You can't even exhaust salvation, let alone anything else. But we go in maturity. Amen. Now, how many in here, when you were younger, you were a little wild? But you've tempered it a little bit, true? I mean, wish you could just go back and maybe change a few things back then. Okay, 2 of you, 3 of you, 5 of you. I mean, you can't go back those things. But as we get older, I know some things become a little more difficult. But we can still have a mentality that, hey, I can still do whatever I want. Who's going to know? Who's going to care? How many knows that matters? When it becomes in Scripture, there are areas that we get bound in. We need to fight sin from its beginning. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it issues the springs of life. We all wish we would have learned this scripture in 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lusts, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and all those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Come on. How many are glad to see some of our young people on the platform? How many are glad to see some of our young people in youth group? How many knows that's important? What were you doing as a senior of high school? Come on. How many knows we need to encourage that? I said we need to encourage that. Anyone who comes in those areas, there are so many things that young people deal with today. So many distractions. And so many things that are just odd that they have to accept. To be politically correct, whatever that is. The truth is that, Lord, help us. All of us in here need to follow righteousness. We need to follow that area. It's the path. I know personally that I have to go through a spiritual car wash daily. Amen? Now, I had a Chevy. It was a GMC four-wheel drive truck. I bought it back in 1983. And it was nice and clean. I put some bigger rims on it, nice tires. But I never really four-wheel drived it. Just whatever the weather was, if it was snowing, I'd put it in four-wheel drive. Well, one day I decided to go out in this field. And it was a muddy field. And I went out there, and all of a sudden, man, I started to sink. So I lock in four-wheel drive, and man, talk about filthy. I mean, the whole truck was nothing but caked with that real thick, heavy clay mud everywhere. I finally got it back on the road. I did it in the nighttime. I parked it. The next morning, I looked at my truck. Oh, my gosh. It was unbelievable. There were like chunks of mud everywhere, all over it. So I took it to the car wash, and I began to blast, and I noticed a sign. Please don't wash heavy mud here. I'm like, oh, sorry, dude. All right. I cleaned it. I bet I used $10 in quarters. And you know, I never, ever, ever got all the mud off the undercarriage. Even though I laid down in spray, there were areas that were stuck up in there. How many have had a life like that? There's still some stuff stuck up in the frame somewhere. Amen? But little by little, you keep going. You know, it starts to get a little harder. Bless God, sooner or later, the water's going to get to it. Say amen. See, we're still on that journey. I learned that lesson there. I wish I'd have never done that. But I can't go back on it. Like many of us, if you could change something in your past, you would have, but you can't. It's time to go on now. That still doesn't define you. It may... Amen. Because God's good. Can you hear me? All right. How many remember where we're at? We're in the spiritual car wash. Now, isn't it nice? I don't like a dirty car. But it's inevitable when I wash it, the next day it'll rain or it'll snow. Anybody else here? Now, we bought a brown colored car this time here. And I figured maybe that would hide the dirt. That is unbelievably next to black, the worst color to have. It shows everything. Everything. I remember I had a silver car. Silver's pretty decent when it comes to dirt, believe it or not. But I remember the other day, washed the car. Well, this particular car wash doesn't get down on the bottom by the rocker panels. All right? So the whole car looks somewhat clean, somewhat clean. I look over and say, what are you going to do? Amen? I don't want to be sort of clean. I want to be all the way clean. Amen. How can a man cleanse his ways? By the word of God. Amen. So I've learned there are certain times where you got to take the word and have it work on an area that you're struggling with. Lord, I need to renew my mind in this area. I need to get victory in this area. And if you'll put it to prayer and the word, how many of that will work in those areas? I said it'll work in those areas. It's like you got to be conscious about those things. Say, no, just the Lord will take it away. No, I'm going to put some effort on this. Then if you couple fasting and prayer upon that, you know what? You'll get victory in any area of your life. No good thing will he withhold for those who walk up what? Uprightly. Say amen. Now, when it comes to living this life, how many here have ever been tripped up with something? been walking along and I just kind of stumbled over something. Maybe a habit or a vice or something just came along. Maybe an old temptation. Let me see your hand. How many of us that we need to look at that and say, you know what? I don't want to put that in front of somebody else. How many see that reality? The truth is that I don't want to put a stumbling block before anyone else. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:27. You've heard of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But he said, if you looked on a woman to lust after her, you've already committed it in your heart. I mean, as it went past the physical act to something internal. Oh, it's awful quiet. Lord, I want to have a pure eye, even in my life and situations. Amen? Jesus said, listen to me, it goes past that. Just because you haven't physically done it doesn't mean that in your heart, in your mind, you're not already doing it. Well, when it comes to a stumbling block, as Christians, we need to be cautious for that too. Amen? Listen, you may have freedom in your heart to do something, but what if it causes your brother to stumble? We should look at them and say, I don't want that to happen. Amen? Come on, we all need it. We are our brother's keeper. Jesus never caused anyone to stumble. And yet, you know what? He hung out with publicans and sinners. He went over tax collectors' houses. He talked to known prostitutes. But he never partook in the sin. He was just loving on the people, reaching the people. Not everyone may like your association, but don't partake of their sin either. Amen? Reach them in love. Reach out and say, you know what? It matters what you do. But when it comes to those things, I see too many times we as Christians say, well, I can do whatever I want. Jesus has forgiven me. That's not true either. No, you need to be biblical. Amen? Now, I enjoy a good steak. Anybody like steak? Anybody like steak in here? Now, if you don't, I understand. But I've went over some people's houses that were vegans and didn't like steak. That's okay. I'll eat celery. All right? I will be offended. Amen? I'm not so much into tofu, but if that's what you have, bless God, I'll try it. I'm not going to lose my salvation over it. But neither will I cause you to have to eat something you don't want to. Are you with me? Well, you'd be mature in that. Amen? My wife and I have went to a few movies and seen the rating that was, you know, okay, and went to the movies and go, oh, we're not staying. Are you with me? I'm not opposed to walking out of a movie theater and say, no, that's just not for me. It's just not. I'm not there. You're cursing my God. It's time for me to go because I'm going to praise him. But that's starting to be mature in your faith. We need to remove the stumbling blocks in our own life. If you know there's an area there's a weakness in, man, don't throw that in front of your feet. Because the hardest thing is when we trip over something. I've tripped over nothing before. I swear the carpet was bunched up and I fell down. Oh, nobody in here, huh? How many ever just like you're just clumsy, whatever? Okay, I'm not good. I'm in life company. So if I see you go like this, you're all good. Amen? When it comes to our salvation, we need to work it out with fear and trembling. What that means is that we repent from our sins quickly. In Philippians 2, verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means on Thursday, you're working on you. On Friday, you're working on you. When we come back together on Sunday, we're working on it together. That keeps us current in those things. That means our salvation is working out in our lives. We need to do that. Because in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That each one may receive what things done in this body, whether they're good or bad. Lord, I want to have a testimony that, Lord, I served you. Amen. I did what was right. I know I'm going to have to stand before the King of Kings. Hallelujah. I've been judged, listen to me, at the cross. My sins are forgiven. But what I work out now in my life, you know what, matters. He only can reward me according to his word. We'll all have the same caliber. We'll all have the same standard. Do we live in the flesh or do we walk in the Spirit? How many want to walk in the Spirit? Amen. Amen. The more I draw near to God, the more I move from sin. We know the scripture in James 4:8. Draw near to God and He will what? Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It seems to me like the more I realize, the more I walk with Him, the more the revelation comes. And you know what? I realize that I'm hand in hand with my God. If God's going to walk with me, He's always going to be the same way, holy. True? Then I got to change. Then, Lord, I'm going to change because I want to walk with You. And it's not hard. You've been born again. You got a new nature that serves the Lord. Then I need to crucify that old nature. Christianity isn't a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's not. It's a matter of being free from the law of sin and death, living unto Christ. Amen? You only give up the things that are killing you anyways. No good thing will God withhold for those who walk uprightly. That means there's a whole world that is unbelievable in Christ that I want to walk in. Because I know what it's like to walk in the flesh. It ends in death and destruction. But how much more life? Amen? Now, like all of us, we all have feelings and infirmities. We live in a body that only can take us to the grave. But my spirit is alive forevermore. Amen? One day I'll get a new body likened unto Christ, that my residence will have a firm place. Isn't that cool? Yes. I like that. Well, what could Jesus do after the resurrection? You ever notice He could come in the room even though it was locked? And they could hear Him, they could see Him, and they could feel Him. He goes, I'm not a ghost. Touch me. Take a good look. You can see my wounds that are still there. It's real. Give me something to eat. How many of that's pretty flat awesome? Notice that the limitations on Jesus are totally moved. The laws that we're working against in nature no longer apply to Him. Hallelujah. How many think you're going to end up a whole lot better than you are now? One day God wants to give you this body. That's what it's going to take for us in eternity, to have a body like that. Oh, isn't that cool? Yes? No limitations. Wherever God needs you to be, He's able to get you there. And here's what I love about the Lord. He doesn't mind every now and then showing that He is King. Notice when He was resurrected from them, it says over 500 at once saw Him, and He slowly departed from their midst. He could have went in a flash. I mean, it would have been cool to just see Him go up and up and up and up. They thought He was going to go like, hey, maybe He's going to come back down. And God had to speak a word. The same Jesus you saw go up, one day He's going to come again. They took that area in their heart and they went and they preached the gospel. They were so excited. I want to see an excitement return again about Jesus. That it goes house to house. That people are like, man, I can't keep my mouth shut about how good God is. Amen? Come on. The more we in love with Him, the more we have to share how good He is. Like any bride that really loves her husband-to-be, I mean, she's excited about her date. She'll tell everybody, I'm getting married. Be happy for me. Amen? I mean, He's coming again. The church needs to be happy about our King. Hallelujah. The church needs to live it out so the world can see, man, look how they love one another. They're not perfect, but look at, they're striving for maturity. They're striving for purity. They're striving for those things. And when we have the Word of God like seed or salt upon us, it's like a little bit of seasoning. It's like, that's different taste. People may ridicule you, but they won't forget what you've shared. Amen? And how many of you here, before you were saved, somebody witnessed to you? Do you ever remember those words spoken to you? Yeah. Were you ever convicted or like, I don't want to hear it or whatever? How many of you that the Word was working? How many here responded after you got witnessed to, hey, I need to turn my life over? The truth is the Holy Spirit was at work, but He used those words, those seeds that were planted to accomplish a goal. Listen, don't keep quiet about your Lord. When you go out in the morning, I do this, and it makes witnessing so easy for me. Lord, You know, my day to day, I pray for boldness. Lay on my heart, Lord, who I can share with in Jesus' name. I go about my day. And when I feel that prompting of the Holy Spirit, you know what? I need to take advantage of that. Because that means he's working on that individual as well. And you just open up. You'll find God will give you the words. Amen? I have a grocery store and a gas station anointing. It seems to me when I go there, God will prompt those areas. Amen? I've had great responses and I've had people get in my face. But either way, the gospel is being preached. Mine isn't to choose what happens. I'm just the messenger. He's the Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. But I often chuckle sometimes after, even if somebody blows me off, I think to myself, they'll never forget this. Father, water that seed again. Bring another servant by there. Can God do it? I'm praying that right now because a lot of seeds that have already been planted, I'm praying that somebody waters that, produces a harvest, God will get the increase. I have to believe if somebody got witnessed to 10 times in one day, by the end of the day they have to go, maybe God's trying to get my attention. Yes or no? Well, Jesus is the best kept secret. It's about time somebody starts to talk about him. Can I get a witness for the Lord tonight? The power may be like freaking out, but bless God, there's power in the house. Hallelujah. I'm just getting ready to go now. When it comes to purity, in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. It's a true fact when it comes to serving the Lord. If you're holding sin within you, that tendency towards sin, listen to me, the Lord's going to work. Repent. Repent. It's not a matter of just voicing a bunch of words and living our own life. There's something that has to change in that. The Holy Spirit must work in us. After all these years of being saved, there are so many times it's like this. The Holy Spirit will check me. Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I start my prayer off that way. Even though I don't have any known sin at the moment, the Holy Spirit's bringing purity there. Amen? That I approach a holy God who's absolutely pure in every measure. Jesus became sin who knew no sin. I'm indebted to him forever. Are you with me? Man, he took the punishment that I didn't have to. And even the greatest pain is this. It's not the burning. That's terrible. It's not the torture he went through. That's unbelievable. But it's the absence of the presence of God. That hurt Jesus more than anything. When he became sin and his father just for a moment had to turn. He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Jesus felt the forsaken so we wouldn't have to. And when it comes to hell, it's going to be unbelievable and miserable. Pain, the Bible says, torment forever. Can you imagine the absence one day of the presence of God? Who have you been designed to be created for? That'll be the greatest hurt, pain forever. Knowing that you could have had another way, but you chose your own. You chose to be your own Savior. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I'm saved. How many are getting a revelation? God, forgive me of all my sins. The world makes a light of it. Christians should never. A fool makes a mock at sin. We should say, Lord, change me. It's not that I judge all those I meet, but Lord, open up their eyes. They don't know the truth. Open up their eyes that they can see the hope of their calling. Is this good this evening?
Yes, amen.
Amen. Well, God says, I'm there for you. My Savior, my King, he's purchased away. No wonder Satan hates it so much. No wonder he tries to hide that or discredit that. He knows that that breaks his power. Anyone who turns to Christ, his power is broken in their life. He hates every bit of it. That's why he comes against that which is righteous. If you decide to live for the Lord and things get tough, keep going. Keep fighting. Keep working. You're on the right path. He tries to discourage you in the midst of it. And believe me, it's amazing how many different situations may crop up and attitudes and this and this and this. Keep going. Keep marching. You're doing what is right. In due season, you will reap if you don't faint. Can you imagine every comment Jesus had to deal with? Can you imagine how many times he was ridiculed? We see a small part of it where they beat him worse than hamburger. They spit in his face. Oh, come on. I mean, that's pretty detestable. That mankind spits in the face of Almighty God. He could have wiped them all out, but he took it. He took it because they were ignorant in their sin. Hallelujah. He did it because they didn't know him. He was restoring a relationship. But some of those who cursed him one day turned to him. Even the Apostle Paul, who thought he was doing God service by imprisoning his people, Jesus touched him, became one of the greatest apostles ever. Can God still do it today? Look what he's done for all of you, ex-heathens in here. Say amen. How many knows God is good? I love that somehow God worked in you. It's amazing that God worked in you. How on earth did he work in you? And if God worked in you, everyone else is easy. Amen. Are we ready, church, for the greatest move ever? Are we ready to see the church filled with people crying out to know him? Are we mature enough to handle those things? My prayer is, yeah. Lord, teach us. Revival is not this organized thing. It's chaos. It's the world coming in raw. It's people who are cussing you out at the door, but all of a sudden they're getting their saved at the altar. Come on. People coming in with different struggles and vices that we overlook because we love the people. And all of a sudden chains begin to be broken. Listen, I need nurses and doctors in here. This needs to be a hospital for the hurting, as well as encouragement for the saints. Each area of people that we need both. Listen, I need you to pray that we have new converts as well as seasoned saints. That keeps the church from being stuck up and conceited or think we're all that. It brings a freshness but also maturity in the house. Can somebody say amen? Amen? Lord, keep us from those things. But we have to be ready. Can you imagine if one city tomorrow, just one city, came to Christ tomorrow? Can you imagine the thousands of people that would be streaming in? Sometimes I think we think too small from our God. We need to start preparing more than ever. The Lord's given us a season now to grow and to mature. Now we need to be ready. Because if we think that God wants to move, he says, I really want to move. I'm not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And here's my confession. I'm not limping out of this planet in the last days. A few people going, no, I'm leaving with power and authority. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell is not going to prevail. Amen? It says the latter days will be greater than the former days. So we need to start thinking big, living big, and reaching big. Amen. Go, Pastor Tommy. Go, Pastor Tommy. That's the best I got. Amen? But I'm working what I got. How's that? Amen. Hey, there you go. Amen? When it comes to our heart, listen, don't let any bitterness creep in. It strangles out the joy. Sometimes bitterness seems to be cropping there and always trying to get its fangs in there. Come against those things. Past hurts, past struggles, put them beside. Say, no, today's the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Attitude always matters. It always matters. It matters in our spiritual life. When I open the book, I don't want to go, oh, I got to have a devotion today. Because that's what the pastor said to do. No, today's the day that I get to read your word, God. Like the psalmist said, your word is like a lamp unto my feet. I'll get the illumination I need to walk and have a firm place. I won't slip and fall. Hallelujah. Amen. How many knows it matters? Listen, prayer is one of the most unselfish things you can do. Because you can cover you all you want. But when you start speaking somebody else's name, you're starting to bless. When I was in my office earlier, the Holy Spirit has dropped in my spirit. We're going to have a Sunday evening in the next few months here to pray for all those in authority. We're going to pray for every congressman, every House of Representatives, everybody in the Senate, our president, our own governor, and we're going to call every one of them out by name. Amen? It's going to be a night to pray for those in authority. So details will follow soon here. How many bear witness there? How many of us we need to pray for them? Some things I don't like, but if I don't pray, I'm not adding to the equation. And God, work on them, amen? If we multiply that, how many times the people that are in here, Holy Ghost is going to work on some folks. Do you know the Lord sets up and the Lord can remove? Hallelujah. And Lord, I'm going to trust you, oh God. Sometimes the people with the loudest mouth need the most prayer. That'll preach. Ooh. Thank you. Somebody go like this. Thank you. All right. Some of you got some moves out there. Amen. When it comes to our life, we have to be vulnerable to the Lord. Do you know backsliding starts in the heart? And we have to be vulnerable to God because you know what? There are people who can depart from the living God. In Hebrews 3, verse 12, beware, brethren, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. I never want anyone to leave their faith. But it's amazing to me how pure your heart can be. You also can allow it to become dirty. That should never be, but that's still a reality. Dare I say in here, how many here have ever had a backslidden state in your life? Let me see your hand. How did you ever get there? I don't believe you started out your Christianity and say, hey, I'm just going to backslide in a week. I don't believe that. It just seems like things just go on and things go on. How many knows it matters? I'm putting myself back in that car wash. Amen? Lord, give me that car wash. Hallelujah. I'm on this car wash kick today for some reason. Amen? But all of us need to take heed. In Deuteronomy 11, verse 16, take heed to yourself, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Even in the Old Testament, it said, look, take heed. Listen, don't do this. All throughout Scripture, He knows man's heart. And if we're not current, we can become really out there. This world never shifts into neutral. It's always working against your faith. But how much more can we serve the Lord? I believe personally Noah stuck out big time. Not that he was looking to be a superstar, but he was serving his God. Enoch served God and God took him. Moses served God. Elijah served God. You're no different than any of them. He didn't want you born back then. He wanted you born now. In this day and age where everything is evil, you're here now. That's God's choice in your life. We embrace those things. Say, thank you, Lord, that I'm going to determine in my life to live for you. That even those who went before, what was it like to live for God in that day and age where every thought was continually evil? How many think we're right there already? We're at that crust again. Jesus said that it wasn't the days of Noah, so shall it be when I return again. We're upon that now. But how much more glorious should the church look? I believe personally that in the spirit realm, the demonic side hates what they see because it's like let's look at the last one, like a giant shaft of light that's just beaming out all over. And the enemy hates the light so he won't come to those areas. But he'll try to diffuse it. He'll try to hinder it. But it still sticks out big time, just like you. You can't tell the light that is emitting from you because Christ is in you. It's like covered in burlap. But every demonic foe knows that you're a Christian. They see Christ in you and they hate that area because they can't be redeemed. They don't come to the light because their deeds are evil. So when it comes to those areas, we need to let our light shine. Believe me, it'll stir up a natural thing, believe me, just by being a Christian. But keep going. God's with you. If God be for you, who can be against you? Is this good this evening? Come on, it's you. Let that light shine. That even others can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When the church doesn't want to be the church anymore, there's something wrong with it. When we're trying to hide from being the church, there's something wrong with it. I know pastors that don't like to be called their place a church. What's wrong with that? Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. When I look today, we need to let our light shine. Amen? The church is the makeup of believers. Hallelujah. That's who we are. Glory to God. Enjoy tonight. We're just scratching the surface here. We started off with a power outage. How many heard that? Amen. I still got a few spots in my eyes, but God's good. How many need to get in the car wash? How many need to have the hose get a few places that's been have some mud stuck up in there, haven't been touched in a while? Hallelujah. Stay under the pressure washer. God will get to it. Amen. I don't want to just clean the outside of the cup. I want the undercarriage clean too. Bless God. My mind and my heart. How many need to spend a little more time in that word? Hide it in your heart. Amen. We need to be intentional about our... And we need to encourage others to be intentional too. Have the great attitude. Not that you have to pray. You get to pray. I don't have to go. I get to go. I speak that upon. Just like I speak that I'm saved. You know what? If I have an ailment in my body, by His stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. That's His word. I take that word and I apply it to that situation and I work it over into here. Amen? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and I'm going to speak what is right, what is pure, what is holy. If there be any praise or virtue, think on these things. Amen? When it comes to people, never go, oh, I have to pray for them. No, I'm glad I got to pray for them today. I'm going to bless their day. Hallelujah. We all need prayer. We're going to amplify that. Next time we gather on a Sunday night, we're going to pray for those in authority. Amen. And I really feel the Lord's going to answer us. I really feel that. Not that we're the only ones praying. I'm not even saying that. But God's going to begin to touch hearts. Amen. How many knows that He'll move in these last days? Do you know He owns America? Do you know He owns it? He owns China. He owns Germany. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And no one can say to Him, what do you do? Hallelujah. He's the Lord. We belong to a new kingdom. We have a kingdom of God. I'm on planet earth as an ambassador, but my citizenship's in heaven. Glory to God. So there are going to be some things that supersede what goes on here because of there. Glory to the God. Hallelujah. I like being saved. I have a hope in the future. How many like being saved? Man, I'm going to the most unbelievable place one day. And have a new body because I'm going to smile because this one would blow up. I'll be so happy. Hallelujah. Amen. If you would lift your hands, we'll close. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to retain Your word. Lord, we hid Your word in Your heart, our hearts, so we don't sin against You. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for abundance of revelation. Lord, that the seed that's been planted got to be watered and even get more fullness, more revelation knowledge of Your Son. Help us, Lord Jesus, Lord God, truly to walk through that spiritual car wash. Lord, that every area gets cleansed from all unrighteousness. Lord, even the hidden areas, Lord, the things we haven't even exposed from our hearts, God, work deep within us that we can be pure. That, Lord, we can have the testimony that Jesus had, that Satan came and can find nothing in Him. Lord, let me have that testimony. Lord, I don't even want to even think of the sin. I want to be pure in heart as well as body, as well as mind. Father, I pray for traveling mercies for each one as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for your time tonight. God bless you. Greet somebody before you go.